How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. It is 7:14 here on a Monday morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. Weather was kind of crappy, to be quite honest with you. I think we're all waiting for some warm weather. Unfortunately, it's not coming this week. Still going to be either at or a little bit below normal temperature-wise. Spring will get here eventually. It'll probably be like every other year. Like, you know, we'll be golfing by the end of April. Certainly hope so. Doesn't look like it right now, though. Masters is a week and a half away. Do it. Hello, friends. How did it take so long for you to... The Masters is a week and a half away. How is that on, like, on that computer thing that you're... that the buttons that you hit, how is that so many pages away?
Okay, first of all, considering you called it the computer thing that I'm using, you can't argue with the fact that it took me so long because you don't know what it's called.
Monitor.
Well, it doesn't matter whether he knows what it's called or not. He talked over it the entire time.
Well, that's what we do here.
That's so peaceful.
Oh. Did you know that the Masters theme actually has words? There's an actual song?
No, I didn't know that.
Would you like us to play it later?
Sure.
It really sucks with the lyrics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It spoils it.
Yes, okay. It does.
Then don't play it.
Okay. Right. That voice that you may or may not recognize is Jamie Baker, one of our Sens analysts, who is sitting in for Simmer, who's on holidays this week. Bakes was unsure if he would be able to make the full 4 hours when we began the show, but 1 hour into it, I think that, I think we can give it a...
25% of the way there.
We're 25% of the way there. That is as... that's as good as we can say so far. Been lots of good insight. Dave Poulin will join us 1 hour
we'll
from now.
We'll
He's our TSN hockey insider. It is the Sens game day. They're taking on the Panthers tonight. Jamie Baker will also be part of the pre- and post-game show tonight. This is just the way the planets align themselves. This is
way too much of Jamie Baker day. Let me tell you that.
If you're not getting enough of 4 hours of Jamie Baker isn't enough this morning, you're going to get another, what's it end up being? About another 3.5 hours tonight. That's a lot of Jamie Baker. That's a lot. You're going to,
it's too much.
No, it's not.
Jamie Baker gets tired of Jamie Baker every day.
I can only
imagine.
You know what? But that's what we'll make tonight. Tonight will be interesting. First of all, Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, is in town today, and he'll be on the pregame show with Steve Lloyd at right off the top of the show at 5 o'clock is what he's scheduled for. Things can change, obviously, but we're hopeful that Gary Bettman will join. And then you'll step in right after. Have you ever met Gary Bettman in person?
I have.
Yeah.
Yep. I've met him a couple of times. Met him during the Stanley Cup finals when San Jose played Pittsburgh. And then he came, you know, when I was doing the radio in San Jose.
Yep.
There was the odd occasion that he came on with Dan Rusnowski, who's been the voice of the Sharks forever.
Yes.
He's like the Dean Brown of San Jose. Yep. And so I've met him there, but I've never really had a conversation with him, like a one-on-one conversation, but every time I've met him, he's been gracious and very kind.
Mm. I don't know. He's never agreed to come on the show, maybe for reasons that wouldn't be that surprising. But I would think a conversation with Gary Bettman would probably be fairly one-sided. He'd tell you everything that he knows and then everything that you should.
I think you're going to want to hear this.
Hear this as well. So.
He's the commissioner of the league. He works
yes.
for the owners.
He does.
So,
and he's made them a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which is his job.
That's his job.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to understand, you know, where he sits and what his job description is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't think there's anyone in hockey that has loved all his decisions over the years. Absolutely. But the sport, the one thing you can't argue is the sport has grown.
Correct.
And is more popular today than it was 10 years ago. So that's a good thing. But at the same time, obviously, as an ex-player, like we had our grievances with the, you know, as when I was with the union and we had our.
Were you a strong union guy back in the, you would have been part of the lockout in 94, 95, right?
Yeah. And then I was part of the strike. So I was with the Nordiques when it was near the end.
Oh, the two games that were missed?
Yeah. It was like a couple of weeks.
Oh, is it?
I think it was a couple of weeks. But it was important because what we got out of that negotiations was salary disclosure, which really benefited all the players moving forward.
Right.
So you couldn't hide income with bonuses. You couldn't go buy a guy a house and say, well, you know, that's not part of his salary and he's our highest paid, like things that had potentially happened that I've heard have happened in the past.
Yep.
You know, once you had salary disclosure, it was there. Now made it a lot easier for agents to do their negotiations and whatnot, and has boosted salaries year after year since then. And then, yeah, I was part of the lockout, which was half a year. Wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. And then I was part of a lockout too. Also, I think, what was it? 212, 214? When was that one?
Yep.
212?
212, 213, yeah.
212, 213, yeah. As a broadcaster.
Yes.
So I had no take in that one.
Right. And 04, 05? The completely missed season?
Actually, that...
I refer to them as Bettman 1, Bettman 2, and Bettman 3.
Exactly. Yeah. So that actually, that worked out to my favor because after that year, I was looking for something to do living in Scottsdale, Arizona. And the Sharks asked me if I wanted to become the radio analyst. So they were making a change after that, you know, canceled season. And that kind of got me into broadcasting. So,
and the rest, as they say, is history. And look where we are this morning at 7:20 on a Monday morning in late March. Pinnacle. You made it. Congrats, Bakes.
Yep. See the morning show from behind the scenes.
You're here.
Well, I've worked with Lloydie, Creech, Lee, AJ. And now I can say I've worked with the one and only JR. And Hammer.
Well, but you had to work your way through the ranks, right?
Yeah,
before you got to the
ending.
Top.
Could I get here? Could I get to the top of the mountain?
That was
that's the question that I've been dealing with for a year and a half. Could I get there?
It's your own one shining moment.
Can I fool somebody at some time to get my way on the morning show? Lo and behold, here I am.
And here you are. An hour and 21 minutes into it and doing a bang-up job. Now, if anybody is driving along the Ottawa River Parkway or the Sir John A. Macdonald Parkway, as it's now known, past LeBreton Flats today, and you see some people, I can't imagine Gary Bettman with snow pants on out in, like, standing in the middle of LeBreton Flats, like, you know, being shown kind of the visualization of what this is all going to look like. Does he, now, I've not met him in person. You've met him, like, does he look like a snow pants guy?
I don't think he's wearing snow pants.
Well, maybe a long parka?
Not sure what he's wearing.
I don't think he's got boots on the ground. I think he's in a helicopter.
You know, when I was...
got a copper.
Bettman's going chopper?
Bettman's going chopper. You got to look the part, and that's what a commissioner does. He's going to be there in the helicopter, just hovering, looking around at LeBreton Flats.
I see him more like on Booth Street, where it kind of goes across... and you can see LeBreton to the one side of rolling down the window, tinted window of the limo, just looking, head nod, move on.
You see the fingers pointing out of the window? There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's
Get
the big ugly
here.
Brown patch. That's where the building is maybe going to go. That's what I see. That's how I think it's going to play itself out.
Will he be concerned about what happens with Blues Fest if they go there? Like, does he care about that?
I don't know. Old Gary Batman does not care about anything other than the NHL and how much money he can make for the league.
Yeah. He will meet with Mayor Mark Sutcliffe today. He'll meet with the NCC. He's going to be at the game tonight. And as we said, part of our pregame show as well tonight. And I know that he stops in every NHL city once a year. And I don't, although the pandemic obviously precluded that for the last couple. So I think this is his first visit to Ottawa, I want to say, since before the pandemic. So. But this is a hugely important time for Ottawa and the NHL with the impending sale of the team, which looks like it should happen sometime within probably by the end of April, within the next few weeks. So,
it's getting interesting now, isn't it?
It's very much so. What's your kind of, I know you've talked about this on many pregame shows, but what's your kind of overall feel on how this is all seemingly what the direction that it's going?
I like the process. They've taken their time. This is an important decision. This is a huge stake for the Senators moving forward. As much as we're all looking forward to some new suitors, some new owners here, like, make sure you go through all the proper due diligence, which the league's going to do anyway. So I haven't, you know, when it looked like it was getting stalled a little bit in February, I had no problem with that. I haven't paid attention to it that closely. I've been listening to you guys a little bit, and I know, you know, some of the local media are following, like, you know, CJ's watching it more and Ian Mendez watching it more, you know. So I kind of track what they're saying and what's going on. So I don't even know all the groups that are, and I think some of them are, you know, we haven't heard of all the groups, you know, so it's like, who actually is kind of the lead horse right now. But I am in favor of Ryan Reynolds and the group, the Remington group, being the owners, if they're the right ones, if it's the right fit from the league, it has to be the right fit from the league standpoint.
I'm guessing that's the Reynolds connection.
Yeah, I'd like to see him involved. I like the whole Wrexham thing and everything. I think it'll just help with the marketing of the team. I think he's puts another face to this organization. Ottawa's a smaller town, and I think just the recognition that the organization gets, the city gets, the players get, I think it would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think you're never going to be able to overcome in Ottawa the fact that you're between the two biggest fan bases in the National Hockey League of Toronto and Montreal, just in terms of the geography works against you. And I know it's the team has been here for 30 years, and there are more, you know, people are now just, and it's crazy to think about it, but let's face it. I mean, you don't have the means to actually buy tickets for yourself until you've worked for a while, right? Going to a hockey game is not that cheap, and certainly to buy season tickets, right? So you're 30 years old or more before you're really kind of, you know, that you're, you know, your ability to buy tickets. Well, the team is only 30 years old. So think about it. Like, we're now just reaching the kids that were born when there's an NHL team here are now just reaching the age at which some of them can afford to actually be ticket holders.
Yeah, that's a
right.
Good point.
That's how long, like, it's 3 decades. Like, it's they've been here a long time, but that's how long it takes. And still then, if your parents are Leafs fans or Montreal fans, but they're here in Ottawa because they were the only two teams when they grew up. And I don't care what you say. You will cheer for the team that you cheered for as a kid your whole life. Not that many people change.
It's like toothpaste.
Exactly.
You don't really change toothpaste.
You like what you like. And so it's a very slow process. And I don't know that it will ever change and be, this will be a completely 100% Ottawa Senator town. In fact, I know that it won't.
I think what Reynolds brings is more of a global footprint. That's what he does. So it goes beyond the market of here, like within the vicinity of Montreal and Toronto. You're not going to change, you know, somebody in their 50s that's a diehard Leafs fan, they're going to cheer for the Leafs. Maybe Ottawa's their second team, but Toronto is their team. That's, you're probably not going to change them. But I'll just take, you know, the potential popularity of Tim Stützle being a superstar in this league. How many potential Ottawa Senators fans are there over in Germany right now if it's marketed properly?
Right.
Like, some of them might, you know, jump on the bandwagon anyway. There's probably a lot of, you know, I would assume there's quite a few hockey fans in Germany that follow the Edmonton Oilers because of Leon Draisaitl.
Right.
Well, let's get some of those fans, just as one instance, like one, you know, one thought process is, let's get some of those fans from a global standpoint, global footprint, to be Ottawa Senators fans. And that's watching them, following them on Twitter. So you get more impressions, you know, you get more of an influence. Buying merchandise, getting young, you know, you talk about getting somebody young, getting somebody 10, you know, 8 to 15 years old, loving the way that Tim Stützle has played. Now you've got a fan for life. And so it kind of carries on potentially from one generation to the next. That's what Ryan Reynolds can bring that's what he's done with Wrexham.
That's why I was a little bit, and we'll find out, you know, whichever group ends up winning. And, you know, there's still going to be, I think, the possibility of two groups joining together. I do think at the end of the day that the NHL and Gary Bettman want Ryan Reynolds involved, even if it's not with the group that he's currently aligned with.
Can that still happen?
Yeah.
Oh, it can.
By all indications, that could happen. Now, which was why I was a little bit surprised that he aligned himself with one specific group and then just didn't kind of say, I'm a free agent and I've got, you know, some money, whether it's my own or whether I've got other people that are, I'll be the face of it kind of thing. I was a little bit surprised, but I think we'll get it, you know, the real story once all this thing plays itself out, and whether he's ultimately involved or not, the story will come out. But that was the one surprise to me all along, or at least initially, that he did that.
My sentiments exactly. I was surprised because I thought he was going to sit in the weeds and just watch the process play out, and then
the NHL would just kind of steer him to the group, right?
Well, and they could the NHL, if they think he's going to be a real added bonus to an ownership, that would be part of the criteria of potential owners, suitors, you know, actually getting ownership of the franchise.
Right.
You're like, well, one of the things you have to do is you're going to have to take Ryan Reynolds on because we think it's going to be such a boost for the entire market. They're looking at it from the NHL standpoint.
Yeah.
They want him affiliated with the NHL. They can see so many bonuses, so many positives from it. So, I was a little surprised that, you know, he hitched his horse to one group, but we'll find out more about kind of this whole process once everything is said and done.
Yeah. And ultimately, whether it's within the next couple of weeks or by the end of April, I think we're getting down to the short strokes now. And the fact that the groups are said to be, the various groups are said to be, or many of them that are into the second round of bidding now or have either visited or will be visiting sometime over the next few days, then they can get, and whether they're in their snow pants, standing in the middle of Le Breton Flats in a chopper or in a limo, rolling the window down, they'll have a sense of Le Breton. But as Mark Sutcliffe told us last week, the mayor, there are other parcels of land as well. That was an interesting piece, I thought, from last week, that he opened up the possibility that there are some other pieces of land as well. If being able to develop something around a new event center and around a new arena is what helps partially kind of pay for this whole thing or to make it work financially for whoever's going to buy it, you know, they've only got the 7 acres at Le Breton, and the understanding is that 7 acres is kind of your bare minimum just to put an arena on. You can't have anything else besides that. Are they, you know, is this a play to try to get more land from the NCC as part of the development portion of it to make this whole thing work from a financial point of view?
Okay, so I was working my day job. Where are the, what other parcels of land were they talking about?
Well, he brought, I said a couple of, and
okay.
he agreed.
Nodded.
So, yeah, exactly. So one is around Herdman Station. So around, you know, where Lee's Avenue meets the 417, there's a parcel of land there. He mentioned the baseball park.
Okay.
As well. And then he mentioned Bayview Yards, which is actually just to the west of Le Breton. So that's city-owned land. So these are three parcels of city-owned land.
Okay.
As opposed to something that the NCC runs at this point.
I mean, it is intriguing because 7 acres isn't a lot of land for an entire entertainment district. If you look at other teams that have moved downtown and have this like entertainment area.
I've never been to San Jose. So what is it like around I know the arena's been there for a while, obviously.
Just the arena?
Yeah.
And then?
Do people hang out before and after games?
You have access to downtown. That's what it is. And,
yeah.
But the arena really helped the downtown core. So if you own real estate prior to the team being there and you kept your land downtown,
Is it the equivalent of Le Breton? Like with the arena in Le Breton and downtown on, or is it closer?
It's closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you can walk to where all the restaurants are.
A couple of blocks or whatever.
Yeah. It's a 5 minute walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a warmer walk at that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's no toque and mittens. But Google has bought all the land around there. So
really?
They have all kind. Yeah. They were supposed,
like
they're
going
to be ripping up the.
To redevelop.
Yeah. I think they're ripping up one of the roads, one of the main roads in front of it. It's like Google. Well, that's what Google does. They buy up a lot of land everywhere.
They have a lot of money, I heard.
Yeah,
something like
that.
They can do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, how old is the building now in San Jose?
I don't know. They've been around.
Is it as old as the team? Like, it was a brand new rink when the team began?
Well, they played the first year.
So they played in the Cow Palace, right,
for a while? First year. And then I was there the second year. And we started in the Cow Palace for about the first month. Well, preseason.
Yeah.
And maybe one, I don't even know. Maybe the regular season we started. Yeah, we played some preseason. Our preseason.
So it's 30 years. It's 30 years old.
Yeah, it's 30 years old.
Well, that's one of the oldest buildings in the NHL now.
I know, it's crazy.
Does it show its age or not?
A little bit. They've done, improved it a little bit over the years. But you can, it shows its age a little bit, especially in the suites. That's one area that they'd.
Too many of them, or just
not enough, and they need to be upgraded. You know, like, and maybe they have in the last couple of years. I'm not sure. I know they have a new Jumbotron this year that's supposed to be spectacular. And
right.
Yeah, so, but it shows its age a little bit. Mm. But it's still a good barn. It gets, when it's loud, obviously the team's struggling. But, when I was there and the team was really competitive, it was one of the loudest ranks in the league.
Yeah.
No question. It was great.
Absolutely.
Great atmosphere.
All right, so Gary Bettman in town today. He'll be at the game tonight and scheduled to be part of our pregame show with Steve Lloyd as well at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Be good to hear from the commissioner and what he has to say about this entire process. We'll take a break. Anything we chat about, welcome your reaction. You can text us at 12 1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. We will take a break, and when we come back, We'll talk about tonight's game. It's obviously a huge game for Ottawa and for Florida. The Tkachuks going head-to-head. I think we can all agree for the first time in a really meaningful game for both. Matthew and Brady. That's tonight. So there's the Ottawa-Florida angle, and we're going to talk about Jake Chychrun's latest injury as well. And how concerned are you about his, well, if we're being honest, rather lengthy injury history? First one with Ottawa. This is not new for Jake Chychrun. We're going to talk about that as well when we return on this Sens Game Day Monday. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Back 7:41 on this Sens Game Day Monday. Jamie Baker sitting in for Simmer, who's off this week. Dave Poulin is standing by. Our TSN Hockey Insider coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Got quite a few texts in. We may have a couple of gremlins into our code word. We're attempting to fix that. So if you tried to get the code word into us that we just gave you, stand by, because some people are, more than enough different people have texted in saying it doesn't work. So we're trying to fix it. When it's fixed, we'll let you know. And you can insert that code word first of six you're going to get today in our Great Sens Jersey Giveaway Contest. All right, it's the Sens and the Panthers tonight. 7 o'clock will be the puck drop from Canadian Tire Center. 5 o'clock pregame show. First of three home games this week for Ottawa. They're home to Philly on Thursday. And then the Leafs, for the second and final time, are here on Saturday. And then they also play Sunday. They got back-to-back games. They're in Columbus for a game on Sunday. So, Jamie Baker, you look at the standings. Philly and Columbus, those should be games in which, if you need to go 8-1 to make a very late run for a playoff spot, you definitely need to win those games. And then you look at tonight's game versus Florida, and they are 4 points in front of them in the standings right now, and they've got two games against Florida. So that is a team that they can reel in themselves. They don't even need help on the out-of-town scoreboard. And then the Leafs, well, they played the Leafs to a standstill. In fact, outplayed them a couple of Saturdays ago. But ended up losing in a shootout. So this will be, I mean, by the time Simmer gets back next week, this thing could be decided if they don't string together some wins here.
They got to get on a little bit of a run.
Yeah.
So
they got to get on a lot of a run.
Yeah, like when they won five in a row, that was the first time they'd won five in a row since
2017.
Like, 2017.
Since they made the playoffs.
Well, they're going to have to do that and more.
Yeah.
So, but they've proved us wrong before. So, you know, like they've fought. The one thing about this team is they fought back all season long, and they're resilient. They're a resilient group. I'll say that. There's no quit. Disappointing loss against New Jersey, because that's when, you know, the Islanders lost,
yeah.
Florida lost. You're like, oh boy, you can make a little bit of a dent, or, you know, stay with Pittsburgh, and you, knowing that you have those two games against Florida. So they've had some tough losses to swallow in the last week and a half. When you look at the Toronto game, you look at the Colorado game, the Boston game, they were close. In some ways, they deserved to maybe win those games, but yet they, for whatever reason, just found a way to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after that tough road trip, when you add it all together, what are they? I think they're like 3-7-1 in their last 11 games. You know, you just, if you go 5-5-1, you're just that much closer. But that's the beauty of the NHL and the parity, especially in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to, and we've been having this discussion since November. They dug themselves a hole so deep in November that you just don't. There's no margin for error. That's what's happened, right? And so they played, you know, you just mentioned in the first hour, right? What are they, the 15th best record in hockey since the 1st of December, which would put you in a playoff spot had you played that way the whole year, but they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this was going back to preseason games, you know, doing the pregame show, and I said, I think the biggest issue that the Sens are going to face this year is being in the Eastern Conference, because there's so much parity and it's just a fine line. Like, you can't fall behind earlier in the year. And that's what happened, you know, and they know now, like, it'll be, of course, it's going to be a narrative over the summer in the, you know, in training camp. Everything's going to be like, we can't have a bad start. It's been a narrative for 3 years, but I think next year, more than ever, this team will be ready to make the next step to definitely make the playoffs. Like, that's,
yeah,
you know, this year they wanted to improve. Obviously they want to make the playoffs. That's the goal. I don't think it's a successful season if they don't make the playoffs, but either way, they're going to improve on last year, which is good. So it's a step in the right direction. Next year, like, at a minimum, they need to make the playoffs, and at a minimum, they're going to have a good start, something that they are still paying for this season.
We're going to see some reinforcements in the lineup probably later in the week. Cam Talbot was back on the ice yesterday, and he'll need to get some practices in before he's good to go, but it sounds like he'll be in a game at some point later this week. Matthew Joseph sounds like he's going to be back as well at some point later this week. And we could also see the debut of Tyler Cleven making his NHL debut, of course, signed his deal late last week, has had two practices so far, will not play tonight, but potentially could be in the lineup. Here is DJ Smith. This is from back on Friday after the first practice and before we learned the extent of Jacob Chychrun's injury, talking about games for Tyler Cleven.
Our plan as a coaching staff, I mean, if we get another injury, he's in automatic, but at this point, our plan is that we are going to get him in games. My plan is to get him in games. I mean, I'm not, you can't guarantee anything, but, you know, as a coaching staff, we want to get him in.
All right. So the coach was more definitive than Pierre Dorion was. Pierre Dorion was more, you know, I'm paraphrasing his words, but we hope to get him in some games. DJ Smith sounded like, and again, this is before the Chychrun injury, we're going to get him some games. That is planned. So we're going to see him sooner rather than later. You mentioned in the first hour, you think that, you know, tonight would probably be too soon. I know some people even said Saturday. Put him in Saturday. When he'd had one practice and had been in the organization for 24 hours, that was a non-starter. Tonight, you still feel it's too early?
I think it's too early. Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll put him in. Who knows? I would, you know, if you look at the schedule, there's 2 days between games between now and Thursday when they play Philadelphia. I think that'd be if they're going to put him in sooner rather than later in the season, which there's not a lot of time anyway. I could see it being Thursday, and then he gets a couple more practices just to even watch another game at the NHL level, get a little more comfortable with the systems, like pay attention to really what Ottawa's doing. He might have been following Ottawa a little bit during the course of the year, but he was focused on the task at hand. That was how he was playing and mm-hmm. North Dakota was playing. He was prepping for whatever opponents were coming the next week. So now he's here and he can learn the systems a little bit. It's not just that. It's also watching the defensemen, some of the nuances that they have. You want to try and pick up a few tidbits here and there. So it's, you know, he's not going to have automatic, you know, chemistry with a D partner. But if you have if you picked up a few nuances, it's going to make the game a little bit easier right. From that regard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give him a couple more, but we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I think Thursday, I would circle Thursday as the day. I know that Nick Holden got back in the lineup. Unfortunately, was part of a turnover, which led to one of the New Jersey goals on Saturday. And that automatically, as soon as you do something like that, right, especially something that like leads directly to a goal, people are like, ah, boom, get him out of here. Get Cleven in there. Everybody loves the shiny new toy, right? That's natural instinct. Everybody loves the backup goalie. Everybody loves the backup quarterback. Everybody thinks the thing that's to come is always going to be the best thing. I'm excited to see him. I think his skill set is pretty interesting. But there's certainly, to DJ Smith's point from Friday, if we have an injury, he's in for sure. Well, we found out on Saturday, they announced that Jake Chychrun is going to miss, at that point, they said 2 weeks. With the injury suffered in the Tampa game, which is interesting because after the game, because he left.
It was cramping. That's what DJ said.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It was cramping. And he had, I believe the word was he had missed the game day skate having a root canal, I believe.
Which isn't easy to play.
No,
to go play a game and you have a root canal that morning.
Yeah.
Not many people would want to do that at work, let alone go play an NHL game.
No,
but
exactly.
Give him credit for that.
Yeah. So, but then they announced the injury that obviously significantly more than cramping, something that'll keep him out for 2 weeks. So, again, with the 2 week window, if you look at they announce it Saturday, 2 weeks from Saturday, there's like at that point two or three games left in the season. If they are mathematically eliminated by that point, I would think they might even just shut him down, keep him shut down for the rest of the year.
Depending on the nature of the injury.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's lower body. I don't know anything else.
Yeah.
So it's.
You think it happened now? So you did the game. You did the Tampa game, right? You were working that game.
Yeah.
So there were two. There were two separate incidents. There was the slew foot on Hedman.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Which he certainly was not very happy with because they were beaking at each other after the second period, and then he was taken into the boards. And I don't remember who it was from Tampa, and that was the one they showed a little replay on TV, and that was the one he kind of limped off the ice after. But that again didn't look super. But you never know, right? That's what you don't know. That one didn't look super serious.
I mean, that's where you...
Maybe that's whatever injury it is, maybe that's where it happened.
Because I was doing the game, and you know where we do the game, we're in section 113, I'm not always looking... There is a monitor there, but I'm not after every single play. So I didn't see him go off, that he was shaken up right at the time. So I found out, like, a few minutes later, like, how come he isn't out there? Like, he's missed a couple of shifts. So, I missed the highlights. So, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of input on it, mm-hmm. you know. And I thought what DJ said after the game, I'm like, yeah, he's probably got some cramping because of the root canal that day and everything. And I didn't think much of it until we found out on Saturday that he wasn't going to be playing, and that, or I think they maybe they announced on Friday that he was going to be out a couple of weeks. So, of course, they just say lower body. So,
right.
you know, who knows what the injury is.
It seems like it was possible from the slew foot, though, too, right? That was...
It could have been... The thing is, I mean, I had a horrific, injury because of a slew foot, you know, where I tore my fibula and tore all my leg, or broke my fibula and tore ligaments in my ankle. But it just looked like he just fell back. Like, mm-hmm. it's like one of those, it's a dangerous play, but he got away with it without injury.
Right.
So I think it's probably when he went into the boards. Sometimes it's just weird when you go into the boards. You can just tweak something. Another guy's hitting it. It could be knee, could be ankle related, something. It could be a Charlie horse, like something that doesn't really stick out.
Yeah.
It's not egregious or anything like that. You're like, oh, that's so obvious, you know, but there is a tweak of some sort that's going to hold you out. It's probably soft tissue of some sort,
right.
lower body, and that's what they have to keep an eye on.
Yeah. The unfortunate part for Jacob Chychrun is he came to Ottawa with a bit of a checkered injury history through his time in the National Hockey League. If you go back to, his rookie season, now he played as an 18-year-old. Missed 14 games that year, 32 games in year two, 29 games in year two, year three. Now years four and five, which was the season that was ended early because of the pandemic, and then the season that was shortened, he was pretty healthy for both of those. In fact, he played the full season of the pandemic shortened season, all 56 games. Then last year missed 35 games, and that was the wrist injury, which went into, because there was surgery, right? That's what cost him the start of this season. As well. So that's a long list. And that was one of the things when the Sens acquired him. I think everybody was on board with the fact that they, had a top pairing defenseman. And in terms of the acquisition cost of a first and two seconds, it was hefty. But this is a prized acquisition. The only fly in the ointment this whole time has been, yeah, but what about the injury history? So without knowing... Like, do you think there's a difference between a player with an injury history where it's just kind of, it's broken bones, which is unfortunate, and other injuries which can be, and, like soft tissue injuries, like strains and hamstring, like, muscle injuries as opposed to bone injuries, as it were?
So I look at injuries in kind of three categories. There's the one, like you just mentioned, just obvious, like it's a broken bone, something like that. There's just soft tissue injuries, which could be just bad luck, or it could be training related. And then the third one, the category, is this the type of player that doesn't like to play unless he's 100%.
Right.
That's not Jake Chychrun. I can tell you that he played the other day after having a root canal in the morning. So that's not Chychrun. I don't know the nature of his other injuries. When he got traded here, because I went and looked it up too this weekend. I wanted to see. I figured we're going to be talking about it. He's played 74% of the time in Arizona. That was the percentage of games. He played 373 of a potential 506 games. Without knowing the nature of the injuries, because I've got burned before in questioning somebody's injury when I was a broadcaster in San Jose.
Yeah.
That's a story for another day. It could be just bad luck, or it could be training related. I don't know whether, depends on if it's a knee injury, that's not necessarily, that's not training related,
mm-hmm.
It depends on, some players just have some bad luck. So I don't know, but I do know this, when you trade for somebody that has had a history of injuries, that's the risk. Like you're like, and the only way Jake Chychrun's going to get rid of, that stigma that he is can get injured is by going a couple of years without getting injured, which is what you hope he does here in Ottawa. So until that happens, you know, there's going to be that little asterisk. Well, what if he gets injured? And like right now he's injured. He doesn't want to be injured. Nobody's more disappointed than Jake Chychrun. You know, we all saw how happy he was to be here in Ottawa. So he wants to be out there for his team, for the organization, for the fans, for the city, down the stretch. Like, these are important games. So it's killing him not to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. Ridly Greig's another guy. Like, he's had injuries, you know.
His would appear to be, you know, more so. And I don't know specifically, has it been identified that I know it's a sternum, but was there a specific hit or something that that he has taken in the last few games that anybody's been able to identify as far as, but I think that's a, you know, Jake Chychrun is a well-built guy. There are no concerns about him being, you know, potentially too light for the NHL game. For Ridly Greig, especially where he is in his career at 20 years old, where he's just starting out and maybe not the biggest guy to begin with. And, you know, he'll grow physically just because he's still in the growth stage of being a human, but also, you know, training for to play in the National Hockey League.
And his style of play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's reckless is not a great choice of words, but he plays all out. He's a get her done guy. As a wise man, he gets her done. No matter how you need to get her done, he's going to get her done. But unfortunately, that also puts him in line for, especially at this stage of his development, some injuries. And fortunately, it looks like that has now cost him the rest of this season as well.
Yeah, he plays with an edge.
Do you have concerns for him longer term as far as
no,
potential?
Because I think I don't have concerns for either of these players, to be honest with you. I think for Ridly Greig, it's the way he plays. He's a smaller guy right now. Another summer spent on training, getting stronger.
Right.
Like, he's got a taste of the NHL. He knows what it's going to take. I love a guy. I don't want him to change his game. So, yeah, he might be a guy over the course of his career, might get a little bit more banged up than some other players, but at the cost of him changing his game and not being...
That's the important point, right?
You know, I don't want him changing.
That's the reason he was chosen where he was chosen by the Ottawa Senators. They identified the skill set, of which a huge part of it is the competitive nature of the player. If he says, well, I can't quite be like I was, otherwise, you know, I risk being injured. Well, then you're not the player that was... You weren't drafted. You're not the player that they drafted. You've changed your game. That's not the thing that you want to do.
The only player, and I've only been here a couple of years, the only player that I had a little bit of a red flag from an injury standpoint was Matt Murray. It just kept happening, and sometimes he was sick. And listen, I never want to question someone. But, you know, maybe he's deathly ill. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But it just kind of kept happening. And at the wrong time, like, he was one guy I'm like, Is it that bad, or can you tough it out a little bit? Like, but I don't know. You never know until you're in someone's shoes. Mm-hmm. But I'm not worried about the Chychrun and Ridly Greig.
All right, so you're a strong no on our TSN 1200 tool and equipment store question today, which is, are you concerned about Jacob Chychrun's injury history? Yes or no? Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. Again, he's out for a couple of weeks, sounds like. Which would put him in line potentially to return for the last two or three games of the season, should the Sens be in it. And maybe if they're not, maybe they just, maybe be a candidate for a world championship team. Don't know if he'd have interest in doing that, potentially.
I like where your head's at.
Hey?
Thinking ahead. I didn't even go down that road. Learning something. You got to keep...
We're used to it here in Ottawa because they've missed the playoffs 5 or 6 years in a row. This is the point. Actually, by now, we've already had this conversation because the Sens have been mathematically eliminated. I wonder who's going to go to the World Championships this year. We've had this discussion every year.
I thought we were about to go to break. I was getting ready to go check out the Twitter machine here, and then you just threw a curveball and brought me back into the conversation.
That's what I
Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
That's greatness at its just wonderful.
All
wonderful
right.
Stuff there.
Take a break. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go in this all-day Jamie Baker marathon on TSN 1200. He'll be part of the pre- and post-game show.
Oh, that hurts to hear.
Tonight
Don't
as well.
Say that ever again. It's hard on my ears.
All right. Stand by. Top of the hour news and sports update. And then Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider, will join us as well. We roll on the Sens game day Monday. It's the Sens and Panthers. It's a big one tonight at Canadian Tire Center, and you'll hear it right here on TSN 1200.